different, and I have personal knowledge that he asked me to introduce you today. And I'm tickled to do it because for 30 years he's full of good with something. And he has no idea what I'm gonna say. Anyway, like I said, I've known him for about 30 years, and we've not come to an exact amount. Somewhere between 7 and 9 times I put Pat in jail over the years. He was a bad dude. Sometimes there'd be 3 or 4 come in with him, and they'd be all black and blue when they got there. And sometimes he was black and blue, too. But I'd go get him. The first time I ever went to get him, we were shorthanded, and I went out to pick him up. I think it was on Rogers Creek, that's what I remember. And I had no backup, but I had a job to do. The judge said he wanted him in jail that day before dark. I was the only one working, so I went to get him. I wasn't looking forward to it. And I think I said a little prayer on the way out there. But I got out there, and I told him I had a warrant for his arrest, and I need him to go with me and go peaceful. And more than likely, I wouldn't shoot him, and first one thing to another. And anyway, he is okay. He got in the car, and we was going up the road, and he said, I can't believe you come here and get me by yourself. It took 3 or 4 lifetime to take me in, and 2 or 3 to get me out when you got me there. And I was one of the ones that helped get him out when they brought him in, so I know he's rough. And I told him, I said, well, it's just simple. I gave an oath. You know, I gave an oath, and I got the job to do. Well, Pat Shelton, even back then, whenever he was out in the wilderness wandering around, he appreciated that.
Amen.
And we kind of come up with a little deal that from then on, them next 7 or 8, 9 times, whatever it was, I'd call Pat up. Hey, got a warrant on you. You got a way up here. Let me come get you. A lot of times he'd say, come pick me up. A lot of times he'd get somebody to drop him off. But he always did what he said.
Respect.
He said, I'll be there at 5 o'clock. He'd be there at 4:55. And it was, that's just the way it was. He spent about as much time in a patrol car as me and Carol have over the years. We were driving, and he was in the back. But I called him one time to turn himself in, to see if he could. It was a bench warrant, which there's no bond on. And what it was, he didn't show up in court for driving on suspended driver's license. So I asked him, I said, can you get up here? Let me come pick you up. He said, I'll come on. You know, if you're busy, I'll come on left route. So, well, I got a lot to do, but I can come get you. No, I'll get up there. So, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, Pat's walking in the front of the jail, and I said, well, I'll just go ahead and book you while you're here. And we went back and joked, laughed, whatever. Well, J.T. Dale was the captain at the time, and he had a little pool, so he could get, every once in a while, he could get someone who had no bond to bond if we thought it was going to get back there and whoop 2 or 3, and they'd have to go to the hospital or, you know, whatever. So we knew Pat wasn't a flight risk, so he arranged to have him, he got him out anyway, he was out on bond. And J.T. was coming in, it was shift change, and I'm not sure if Carol was there or not, she may have been. Anyway, we were all kind of standing out front going over what going on had happened during the day, and anyway, JT comes driving up, and he gets out, and like I said, he's the boss, he's the captain. He walks up to me, and he says, I see Pat came in. I said, yes, sir, he came in just like he said he would, as always, and turned himself in. And I said, you had the bond all fixed up, so he's gone. And he said, well, good. His face turned just kind of red, he started laughing. And I said, what's funny? He said, I just met the idiot driving down the road. He drove himself to the jail. on suspended license for a charge with no license.
I was there.
He came, like he said. He told me after that, he said, well, you were busy and I didn't want to bother you. But that's the old Pat, and there should have been a funeral because the old Pat has passed away. He's a new creation. I'll tell you just a couple of things about that, and then I'll get out of here because he's got a really good testimony to tell you. Pat spent a lot of time in jail, but he spends time in jail now, too. When he goes up, he's ministering up there to the prisoners. There's been a lot of people receive salvation up there because he goes to the jail. He didn't forget about those folks, and we're not supposed to. Instead of calling him to tell him to turn himself in now, I call him for his advice. I call him for prayer. And a lot of times, Pat, I'll say, can I ask you to pray for such and such? He said, let's just do it now. I'll pull off. You know, that's for hands free. And he would pull off, would you pray over the phone? And I call him for counsel, too. He has no idea how much his knowledge means to me and his advice. And, you know, I saw his mother a few days before she died. And I was there the day his dad died, and we wept together. And when my father died, and when my mother-in-law was having surgery, Pat came to Jasper about 5:45 in the morning before surgery to pray with her. And we didn't even know he was coming. So Pat's a new creature, and best of all, he has a driver's license. With that said, he has a powerful testimony, and I would be amiss to not mention his wife, Kathy, because were it not for a merciful God and the love of his wife, he wouldn't be where he is today, neither would I. And Pat Shelton is my friend. Y'all sit back and hang on. This is good.
I was going to try to hold it together. I don't think I will now. Thank you, Mark. What a blessing. You know, that man he spoke about started at 8 years old. That anger, that cold person, and you can imagine at 8 years old I would be that way, but I had anger then. I had a rage inside of me. My dad was a pretty rough man. We were raised up in North Carolina, a little small town called Glenville, North Carolina, and we were made fun of a lot. We didn't have water in the house. We didn't have power. Growing up, we were made fun of, and I was redheaded. Can't say it now, but at that time, I was redheaded, so I was made fun of. I was made fun of not because we didn't have water and all these different things, and I got to where I got so mad. And I had asthma, and I couldn't fight, so all these kids beat me up growing up. Until I turned 13 years old, I was whipped a lot. But when I turned 13 years old, I lost that asthma, and I grew up. And when I came back to the school that summer, after summer, I was about 6 or 8 inches higher than everybody else. And all this rage came out. And I started hurting people. And by the time I was 10 years old, it was the first time I was in jail. I was start drinking at 8 years old. By the time I was 12, I was selling drugs in school. By the time I was 17, I'd moved to Gilmer County. I'd been in jail 14 times already. I didn't discriminate. I hated everybody equal. That's just the only way I can put it. There was nothing I loved better than to hate somebody. I had such an anger in me. And I got in trouble down here in Gilmer County, and a man came to jail. His name was Charlie Waters. He came in and said something I'd never had said to me. He said, "Jesus loves you and I love you." And I looked him straight in the eye and said, "Well, undoubtedly he don't know me." But I wondered why that man kept telling me. 27 years he came to that jail. And he kept telling me this. And I thought, why would he keep telling me this with tears? And he'd always talk to me with tears streaming down his eyes and tell me how much God loved me and that Jesus loved me and he died on the cross for my sins. And all these things he kept doing. Well, from the first time I was in jail and heard that, I ignored that. And I went out and got into the drug deals. And I was bringing in a lot of drugs in this town. I'm ashamed today to tell you, but I was bringing in a lot. Over 300 pounds of meth at a time. I got to where I was burning houses and blowing up cars, destroying families. But you know, there's a word in here in Psalms 139. He says, "His mercy and grace endures forever." And thank God for mercy and grace. You know, I got so bad that my own daddy came out to kill me. He come out to the truck. I mean, out to the old camper I was living in. Mark knew was that over there on the side of the road. And he told my mom before he come out, he said, "Our son's turned into an animal. He's crazy." He said, "Gina, I'm going to go out there and stop it." And she said, "Newman, that's our son." He said, "Gene, what you're going to do?" He said, "I know how he'll be when they come after him. He'll go crazy." And he said, "They'll blow him into pieces." He said, "There won't be nothing left of him." And he said, "I'd rather get out there and end it right now as to see him in the shape that they'll make him." And my daddy come out there and he told me I had to leave. And I told him I didn't have no place to go. And he looked at me and he said, "Son, you best be gone when I come back." And he walked out the door and he shut that door and he come back and there's a big old tear. Now, if you knew my daddy was a big man. He was 6'3 and weighed about 225, 230. And when daddy told you something, he meant it. And he looked me in the eye and he said, son, take me at my word. You best be gone when I come back. Well, I got up from there and I realized what my daddy's getting ready to do. So I left. Well, I ended up living down there on a little small house down on 05 down there building a subdivision. We were living in a abandoned house down there, and we got to that point. I lost everything. And something happened. My grandbaby is born. Now, I couldn't change. I've got two children. I got a son and a daughter. And I couldn't change my children. But I seen that grandchild that morning, and I thought to myself, he can't be raised up in this. And I had an ounce of dope sitting there, and I told everybody that morning, I said, you better get what you want, because I'm done with it. And everybody thought I was laughing, joking, thought it was all real funny, but I told them, I said, you best get what you got. Well, at 10:53, they come and lock me up. That morning, they come and lock me up, my second meth charge, I was facing 20 to 15. 20 years, I was going to do 15 years. That's all they offered me. Well, took me to jail. Guess who come through the doors that evening? Charlie Waters. Charlie Waters came in, he said, son, how'd they get you this time? I said, Charlie, they got me the urine test, but seven people told on me. He said, well, son, if I'd been clean, what would have happened? And I told him, I said, well, Charlie, they turned me loose. Why? He said, well, son, who put you in here? That was the first time in 32 years. 32 years of drugs. Actually, 40 years in alcohol and 32 years in drugs that I had to admit one thing. I was wrong. And I don't know if you remember the first time you had to admit you was wrong. There was a flood of emotions came upon me. And all those times that I'd been wrong came back and hit me like a ton of bricks. And Charlie seen that. And he said, son, do you have a Bible? And I said, no. He gave me his own personal Bible, his old black King James Bible, wore out, tore up so bad. And he said, son, would you read this for me? And I had respect for Charlie. Charlie was a man I respected. And I said, I don't know, Charlie, I tried that Bible stuff. I said, I got over there and I begot stuff I can't understand. And I said, I would just throw that thing down, let go. He said, son, I want you to read the book of John. I said, where's it at? How many of you today know where the book of John is in the Bible? I was 43 years old and didn't know where the book of John was. And he opened it up and he opened it to the Bible and to the book of John. I said, now wait a minute here. I said, I've tried this Bible stuff. I said, now, when I was in school, I said, I'd read the front of a book and the back of a book and I could get a D in the book report. I said, I've never started a book three quarters away in the back, you know, like that. Three quarters away in the Word. And he said, I want you to read the Bible. And he said, I want you to see if you can find your real friend. Well, I got in there and I started reading that book. And I got to realizing something, that he knew me. See, Jesus knew me. Everybody told me I need to find Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus already knew me. I got over there and I got to reading where he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, raised Lazarus from the dead. I said, this guy's better than Superman. This guy's got it going on. Then I got over out of that point. I said, I was reading it like a book. And I got over out of that book where he said he forgave me. Where he got on that cross. He hung on that cross for Pat Shelton. See, I didn't understand all that. And I realized on that. And see, I like to make it personal. And I remember getting down in a two-man cell. I was in a two-man cell in Gilmer County, cell 4. And I got down a two-man cell, and I didn't know nothing about this God. And I said, I don't know you, don't know nothing about you. But if you can take this anger and this rage from me, I won't give you my life. I'll surrender you right now. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I never surrendered to nothing. There was nothing I loved better back then than a good fight. I didn't care and I didn't scare. And when I said I surrendered to him. And you know, he spoke to me as plain as I was speaking right now. And he said, you're forgiven. Well, I got excited. Son, let me tell you something. I come up from there and I started jumping up and down and I started shouting and I was dancing around there screaming and hollering. And I remember they sent every jailer they had in there wondering what happened to Pat Shelton. And I remember they come in there and they said, "What's going on here?" And the little runaround, he said, "He's praising God." Well, it scared me to death. They knew I was crazy. Didn't it, Carol? They knew I was crazy. Many a times they had to come in there to get me. But, you know, they couldn't understand that. They did not believe there was no way that Pat Shelton was going to change his life. Well, I'll tell you what I done from that point. I made a purpose of my heart that I would go out and I would tell everybody I see. Now, I don't know about you today. If you've been forgiven much, like I've been forgiven, I promise you, I've been forgiven much. And there's nothing. I can't wait every morning to get out of that bed. See, I get excited today about getting out of that bed. Used to, I'd get out and I'd get so angry and I'd hate to even get up. I hated myself. I didn't have a mirror the last 3 years of my life. And I get to a point now where I can't wait to get up. And it says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things be added unto you." And today I get to seek God. I get to seek Him every morning, the first thing. Taste the Lord and see that He's good. You ever open that Bible up? I like to tell people it's like opening up an apple pie. Boy, I tell you what, in the mornings they're getting you gravy and biscuit. Boy, you open that thing up, and I mean, it's just like you can't wait to taste that word this morning. I can't wait to get a hold of that Bible and get in there and read what God has for me. See, this is life right here. And I love it. I was over there in Psalms 139 this morning. He said, "Wherever I make my bed, He's there." And you know, I was making my bed in hell, but today, praise be to God, I don't have to go to that place no more. I'm excited today. I don't know about you, but I'm excited today. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. See, I try to hold it together, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't contain it no more. I can't contain the love that He's given me. See, that man, I want to tell you a little something. That man and that woman that told me I had to leave, that didn't want me no more. I got to go to my daddy. And I got to leave my daddy to the Lord. And I got to baptize my daddy. I got to preach his funeral. My mama. I got to leave my mama to the Lord. See, my mama had cancer, and mama talked about the Lord, but she had a lot of hate in her. And I remember my mama had cancer, and she got down until she died one night in my arms out there, and they got her on life flight, and they brought her over there for life flight. And I got down, and my sisters and all of them was hanging on to her, and they said, "Mama, oh Lord, Mama, we love you, we love you." I said, "Get out of the way, everybody move." And I said, "Mama, you talked to him. My mama looked at me and she faded back out. And the only thing I was screaming, "Mama, talk to him. Mama, you talked to Jesus." Well, they took her in life flight over to Erlanger. And we got over there and everybody's running in there. And you know how my sisters are. They're all crying and poor little mama, bless her heart. And I said, "Move." I said, "Mama, did you talk to him? Did you talk to Jesus today?" And she looked at me and she said, "Son," she whispered. And I leaned over there and she said, "Son." She said, "They come across that, they had me sitting straight up in that chopper." And she said, "We come across that Tennessee River up there," and she said, "That's the prettiest thing I've ever seen." She said, "Lord, it's about time me and you had a talk." My mom accepted Jesus on life flight. She accepted the Lord. You know, she was born in Hazel, North Carolina, and I got to take my mom up to Hazel. We carried her to the water, but we got to baptize her in Hiawassee River, but she walked back out. See, I serve a God that's able. I don't care what's going on in your life today. I don't care what's been going on. You know, we have the right to come boldly to His throne room of grace. We got a chance now to get to go to that jail. Carol, we go every Sunday and Tuesday, don't we? And we're seeing miracles happening up there. We're seeing men and women coming out of that jail. We're seeing them set free because the Word of God says, "Who the Son is free indeed." There's nothing wrong with all these places that they're doing these things and all the things that they're doing out here in this county. But I'm going to tell you something. There's two steps for me, and that was down to my knees and coming up with victory. And that's the joy of knowing the Lord, is that we can call upon that name above all names. And we get to meet so many people today. I remember a time when people used to run from me. They wouldn't even see me coming, and they'd turn around and go the other way. But you know, today they come to me, and it's so humbling to know that someone will walk up to me and won't speak to me. I've had people come to me and shake my hand and tell me they're good to see me, and I sit there and start crying. And people can't understand why you do that, but I've been forgiven so much, and there's a love. Today there's a love in me that I can't contain. You know, people ask me, they say, how'd that happen, Pat? And I said, he touched me right here. I can touch it every time. It don't matter how dark it is or how light, I've always know exactly where that feeling came in my heart. It's the day that he touched me. But you know, when it was over, I got to reading this morning in Psalms 139, and I can't get over this morning, because he said that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. He made me. You know, he knew you before the foundation of the earth. Does everybody know that? Do you know he knew you before you was formed in your mama's womb? He knows every thought before we think, and that's so exciting to know that God knows me. It's not enough for me to know him, it's for he knows me. I have that relationship with him. And I hope today that you have that relationship. You know, there's something today, I don't know what it is, I feel in my heart, there's something holding someone today. There's something got a hold on you and binding you today, because it's in my spirit today, and it says our spirit bears witness. And I hope that there's whatever it is that's got you today, that you can understand that God is real. His mercy and His grace endures forever. I think about that sometimes when Solomon, when he dedicated, he said, God, you are good, and your mercy and grace endures forever. And I get so excited about that, because His grace is renewed daily. Amen? His grace and His mercy is renewed daily. To know that I can fall short, and I do. I fall miserably short of serving my Lord and Savior. You know, the Word says, study to show thyself approved. He endures to the end shall be saved. Strive to enter in. And I fall miserably short of serving Him. But you know, the greatest part I have is I can call upon Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, O God. You know, I tell people all the time, and I think a lot of times it's just like that song right there. So many people are judging and condemning the people that's out here today. And because of some of the ways that we look, or what we have, of how we talk or whatever. But you know, I love to tell people, and I tell those men at jail, and I love to tell everyone I see, you're not bad people. You made bad decisions. And I thank God that I have a God that says those decisions I made are for God. You know, that's the greatest gift that we have. You know, the devil will keep trying to bring your sin back. He'll keep trying to bring all that back to you. But you know, we don't war. He don't want to war against your future. I mean, your past. He wants to war against your future. He wants to stop you from a ministry that this church has started. I'm going to tell you something. I get excited about this church. I drove by this place, and I got to come out here one day, and I talked to Mark one time. And ever since I've been coming by here, I love to come by here and pray for this place. You know, we do a lot of traveling out in here. We just moved a man out here a while back, and I love to come by here. And I say, Lord, you bless that church. You bless them. You let them remember who they are. They're the head and not the tail. They're above, only, and never beneath. And I want you to be a church that goes out in the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come in. I want you to take this word today and remember that no matter where you're at, that God's going to use you in a mighty way. Amen? That's the exciting part about it. He'll use us. He'll use us right where we are today. Amen? See, I can't help but get excited about the word. You know, people think I'm crazy. I am crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus. I am different than most people, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's nothing that I can do to count myself worthy. There's nothing I can do. All I can do is call upon that name above all names, and I thank God for that. Oh, I thank Him for His love and His compassion. You know, I've got two sisters that we got to lead the Lord. I got family members right now that's lost. You pray for my family. You know, I can't reach my family. I pray for someone to be put in their path. I pray that someone will be put in their path. You know, sometimes you can't reach your family. But I believe this is a praying church myself. I believe if I ask you, that we shall receive. And I'm asking you today. You pray for that jail. You pray for those jails and prisons. You know what? I was in now jail all my life. I forget how many times now, but you know, I got to go into prisons today. I don't have to go into a prison wondering if I'm going to get out. I get to go into prison. We've been in 26 prisons so far. We got to go into Rikers Island prison. I got to preach 8 sermons in one day up there. Think about that just a minute. 12,500 inmates. Now, instead of being in that prison where I belong, I get to go into that prison and bring the gospel. You know, I was facing 2215. Carol, I don't know if you remember this. But there was we were in those little, before they got the courthouse built, we was over there in the trailers. And I walked in, and I want to tell you how God works. His mercy and grace endures forever. That was my message today. I was standing in a courtroom up there, had me in full shackles. I mean, they fixed me up. They liked to put me in shackles. And they had me locked up there, and I walked in that courtroom, and the judge looked at me, and he said, "Mr. Shelton?" Yeah, he called me Mr. Shelton. He said, "Mr. Shelton," he said, "I was praying this morning." Now think about this a minute. I'm facing 20 through 15 years, second meth charge. Dead to right, guilty. Guilty of sin. And that judge looked at me and he said, "Mr. Shelton, I was praying this morning." He said, "God told me to show mercy on someone in my courtroom, and it's you." I'd only been living for the Lord 3 months. Now some of you may be a new Christian. I hope you are. I hope you're listening to this. See, I didn't think that God would ever show, you know, all the things I'd done. I thought it was going to take many a year for God to forget all those things. See, I'd only been living for the Lord 3 months. I asked God for His time, not man's time. And that judge looked at me and he said, I'm going to show mercy on someone in my courtroom. They took an hour recess. He took an hour's recess. He came back and they came back up there and they brought me back up in my full shackles. Brought me back in front of that judge and he said, "Mr. Shelton," he said, "the DA was jumping high in the air. She's kicking herself in the rear end." He said, "You can see the dust." Saying, he don't deserve jail, he deserves hell. And she knew all about me. She told him everything I'd done in my life. I mean, she'd done her homework. She knew Pat Shelton. But he said, "Mr. Shelton," he said, "I'm going to give you a chance." He said, "I'm going to give you a second chance." He said, "I'm going to give you 6120 at Caldwell Detention Center. I'm going to give you 5 years probation, $4,500 fine, 240 hours community service." And he said, "Do you think you can do this, Mr. Shelton?" I said, "Yes, sir, I can." But here's the kicker. He told me if I ever come in his courtroom again, this is where God got me to. You may have the options. You may think you have options. I'm going to tell you something. God brought me to an understanding. He said, "If you ever come in my courtroom again, you will do not under 35 years. So I have no option. See, God brought me to a point. He said, "I'm going to use you." And I'm going to tell you tonight. I mean, this morning, I'm going to tell you right now. God's got a purpose for you. And if you don't accept that purpose, accept that calling He has for you to do, you know, He can take it. You know, He told me, He's let me know real quick like that, I have no option. I'm either going to serve Him or I'm not. But I'll be put somewhere where I won't have to worry about it anymore. And you know, that humbles me so much to know that God would allow a man to tell me that. See, not only has God shown me His mercy and grace, but He used the court system. Think about that a minute, church. What about to know that you deserved hell and damnation? I deserved prison. I deserved it. I did. Second man charge. I deserved everything I got that I was going to get. But through that mercy and that grace, I was given redemption. And think about today, what is our deserving? I deserve hell and damnation today, but through that redemption, through that blood shed on Calvary, through that love that our Savior had for me, He has given me forgiveness. And I thank God for that. I thank God He allowed me to come and be with such a great cloud of witnesses. I thank God that He allowed me to come and be with my brothers and sisters. You know why I can call you brothers and sisters today? Do you know why I can do that? Because Romans 8, 1, verse 17 says, "We cry out, Abba, Father, and we are heirs and joint heirs to Christ Jesus." Amen. Every one of you, whether you want to believe it or not, got a bald-headed brother named Pat Shelton. Amen. He's got family members. We all family here today, so praise be to God. You're going to have to put up with him now on. I don't care what you think about when I leave here. You're still going to say, "Blame, he's my brother. I have to claim him." I know Mark don't want to. There's a song. If you allow me, I want to sing it. I don't know why God's put on my heart to do this. But there's a song I want to sing to you. It's called "A Beggar and a King." Has anybody ever heard it? This is to go with my testimony. I believe it's about as good as anything that goes with it. What you see before you has not always been. My life was so broken and battered by sin. This story I tell you is such a marvelous thing. How love brought together a beggar and a king. I traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing, but he gave me everything. He found a beggar and I found a king. You say it's so hard for you to believe, but all I can say is that I agree. Of all the love stories this world has ever seen, there'll never be another of how Jesus loves me. I traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing, and he gave me everything. He found a beggar, and I found a king. Yes, I am the beggar, and Lord, you're my king. Amen. Amen. I hope that you got something out of this. I hope that you get an understanding that no matter where you're at or no matter where your family's at, there's hope. There's mercy and grace endures forever. I know there's somebody I feel in my heart today. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what's hurting you right now. But I know there's many people here to pray for you. I know that there's a love in this church like I've never felt. I've got a wonderful church I go to, and I know the love I feel in there, but I feel the love in this church. And I hope today there's somebody, if there's something that's burdening you today, let them come and pray for you. Amen. We'll pray for you.